Hi and welcome to Home Education for All, or HEFA for short. At HEFA, we believe that community is the heart of home education, and so that's what we built. We built a community in the UK, helping, supporting and uplifting each other to be the best home educators we can be. And now we're coming to you via this podcast too. Stay tuned for all things home education in the UK via our amazing, experienced, knowledgeable and often hilarious team. We truly believe home education can be for everyone, and we hope listening here will give you the confidence or knowledge you need if you've been considering home education. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. So this week I am joined by our lovely Lana. Hello Lana.
Hello.
Who is one of the fellow admins at HEFA. And basically we've decided that we're going to have a little bit of a ramble. We're going to ramble around a couple of subjects, but something that Lana and I both have in common is actually we have quite a few things in common. We are both neurodiverse, neurodivergent. We are both disabled, and we both have many chronic conditions. And something that comes up quite a lot in group is about exactly this, right? It's about, you know, how on earth do you manage to home educate when you've got your own stuff going on?
Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, it's something that comes up so much, doesn't it? And lots of people struggle. It's quite a big topic, isn't it, really?
It's a huge topic, yeah. I know for me, I've said before on group that, you know, when people have sort of said, I'm disabled, or I have lots of these conditions and I can't see how I'm going to be able to manage my conditions and home ed, something that I now know in hindsight is the massive difference that deregistration made to my health.
Oh, absolutely.
For the better.
Yes, definitely. And this is a massive thing. And I think this is, you know, if people listen to this podcast, and that's the one thing they can take away from it, is it absolutely makes a massive difference for the better. There's lots of people who kind of have that massive worry. And it was absolutely one of my biggest worries. I wanted to home ed from the start with my little boy. My daughter was already going through the school system. I didn't like it. I wasn't happy with things that were going on. And when I found out I was having my youngest, before he was even born, I thought home ed is what I want to do. And there were a couple of things that kind of held me back, which we can talk about later, yeah, if you want to. But yeah, one of them was, you know, that doubt in my mind, how do I manage all these health conditions, how they affect me every day, and a child at home all day and teaching him.
Yeah.
And it was a massive concern, and it was one of the reasons that led me to trying school. And ironically was the main reason for me contemplating home ed. Because where we lived before, it was quite rural, as we are now. But it was a good 25-minute drive to the nearest school. And for me, I knew absolutely I would not be able to manage that every day there and back. So for me, it was kind of like, right, let's look into home education. What's it all about? Is that going to be a better option for me? And so it was so dichotomous in the conflicting sides of that, whether I could manage and knowing that I also couldn't manage school.
Yeah.
And basically what happened is in the interim we moved house, and where we moved, the school is literally at the end of the road. So it was kind of like where I had that massive doubt in myself and my ability to manage it, suddenly it was a possibility, it was an option of him maybe going to school and giving it a try.
Yeah.
That didn't work out. So no. We reverted to the original plan, which I wish I'd just done in the first place. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah. And it's quite funny, isn't it? Because
you know, quite often local authorities and schools, as soon as they are aware that a parent is disabled, has disabilities, has chronic long-term illnesses, has mental health conditions, they immediately presume that school is actually the best place, as opposed to home, as if I struggle to understand the thinking behind it. Mm-hmm. But what I know and what I've experienced is that actually, in terms of the reasons that we ended up home educating, it meant that school was such a massive stressor for everybody. Yeah. It was a massive stressor for the kids. It was a massive stressor for me. I was, I often joke that I was that parent who was, you know, the one finally getting their kids into school, that parent who is the one who needs to, you know, just stay back for a few minutes for a quick chat three times round. And it was really tough. It was really difficult. And then on top of that, managing meetings with the SENCO, meetings with the head teacher or the head of year, phone calls and emails back and forward on, you know, a daily, if not few days basis. That dog's noises.
I know. I'm really sorry. Do you know what? I'm going to go and take him upstairs. I'm going to, 2 seconds, I'm going to text my daughter and ask her to come and get him because, and do you know what? Ironically, he generally doesn't snore. So it's typical that he picks now to do it.
So for those of you listening, Lana's got a lovely, is he a pug?
He's a Frenchie.
He's a Frenchie.
Yeah.
He's beautiful, but my word, is he noisy.
Yeah. And they are renowned for snoring, but we're really lucky with him. He doesn't generally. And yeah, sorry, guys. He is picked this evening to curl up next to me and actually snore. So
that's
brilliant. A little bit of background music for you all going on.
For me, the stress and the anxiety of school constantly, you know, being a factor, actually made my conditions worse, because a lot of my conditions are exacerbated by stress.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's what's really interesting is the trade-off, the sacrifice made by home edding is that I presumed that I would have less time to myself. I would have it would be more stressful. It would be more overwhelming. Also considering neurodivergent, you know, it's just going to be an absolute nightmare and my stress level is going to be even higher. That was definitely the case for at least, you know, the first 8 to 10 weeks of home ed. You know, my conditions did kick off. I did have flare-ups. It was difficult and trying to manage and maintain everybody's needs. But what is the most fascinating thing about it is that a lot of my conditions then reduced down to such an extent that we were able to do a lot more.
Yeah, I can relate to that so much, because it, again, exactly, you know, I was that parent, can I have a chat? It was the same, you know, the meetings and the phone calls and the emails and the anxiety that I would feel having to ring up and say, right, he's not going to be in today. You know, having to manage my health, his neurodiversity and how he was struggling, the lack of support from the school with everything. And as you said, the minute that they know that you've got conditions, it's kind of they start. I'm not saying it happens for everybody, but I felt a massive shift in their attitude, the way they approached things. And all in all, it just massively exacerbated the stress. It exacerbated my health because, like you said, stress does exacerbate it. When you've got chronic pain, especially if you're stressed, even if you're not outwardly stressed, it has a physiological response in your body that you may not even be aware of until you've suddenly got this massive flare-up of pain.
Yep.
You know, because you are tense, you're holding everything, you know, in ways that you don't even pick up on a day-to-day basis. And again, the minute I sent that email, it was almost like my pain kind of shrunk back a bit. I could feel myself start relaxing. And as the weeks went on, again, like you said, very difficult the first couple of weeks. You know, and this is a massive point I'd like to drive home to anybody worrying that they may deregister and feel that their health issues have kind of flared up. You know, expect that, do expect that, because what you're doing is you are navigating an entirely different circumstance. You are trying to navigate a whole new process, a whole new way of life, and that will automatically bring different stresses, different worries. But it's just an adjustment period, because once you come out the other side of that, you know, it's just worth everything. You know, things start to settle down. You know, and I have found that actually, oh, since we've been home ed, my flare-ups have definitely decreased. And when they do flare up, they're not anywhere near as bad, because I haven't got that ongoing external pressure and stress every day.
Yeah, agreed. And also, you know, you haven't... So when you're home-edding and you have chronic conditions, you're definitely better able to advocate for yourself, model the kinds of behaviours that you've needed to do for yourself but aren't necessarily able to when you've got two school runs to do, emails to do, phone calls to do, on top of all of the other things that you've got to do. And, you know, for those of you listening that have chronic health conditions or disabilities, you know, there will be days or seasons of the year and things like that where it becomes extremely hard to get out of the house. Winter is particularly bad for my conditions, because I have a light sensitivity issue, I have a pain condition, I have a chronic widespread pain condition as well. So pain processing as well as pain. But because of the position of the sun, the light sensitivity can affect me quite debilitatingly. And what's great about home ed is that we can have people over, we can you know, speak to friends online, we can have more time in and focus more on projects that, you know, keep getting put to the side because we're too busy in the summer, out every day and doing all of the things. And it's really beautiful because the kids have picked up this kind of cyclic behaviour to their home ed as well. And it's not just about me managing my conditions and helping them to recognise that, you know, we live in an environment and a world where, you know, people have different needs. I do struggle with the idea of special needs because I just believe that everybody has different needs. The only reason it ends up being called special is because more money has to be thrown into the system to be able to accommodate some people. Side rant. If we just accommodated for the most disabled person in school, we'd accommodate for everyone.
Yeah.
There's a little genius light bulb for you, government. Anyway.
That's another soapbox moment.
That's another soapbox. Yeah.
Yes.
but yeah, so it just, what happens is that cycle happens where we're out a lot more in spring and summer. And we're doing much more activity-based stuff. And then towards autumn, we have some really lovely stuff in autumn as we kind of move into that kind of staying in a little bit more and staying in contact with people in different ways. So, you know, in spring and summer, it's often quite big groups that we're associating with. And then towards autumn and winter, it will be friends more on a one-to-one or a 3-to-1 basis, because we're indoors a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, obviously I've been home ed nearly 10 years. So I've kind of noticed these patterns as we've gone on. And I've noticed that those patterns tie in with, I don't know how much of this has been me influenced or them influenced, but either way, the seasonal kind of cyclic nature of our home ed ties in with my conditions and also the children's conditions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, exactly the same here, because one of the chronic, one of the conditions that I've got that cause chronic pain, my daughter's been diagnosed and my son has, we're going through the process for that. So, you know, in a way, we're kind of very in tune with that. The winter hits, it affects us, you know, and again, kind of linking that background to a school situation actually, again, has improved things, because we're not going out in that freezing cold and that rain and that wind where it's affecting, you know, it's not just, oh, we're a bit cold. It's a cold that we can't pick our bodies up from. You know, and you try and explain this to somebody, if I'm stood in the cold for too long, they go, oh, wrap up warm. And it kind of, no, it doesn't work. I know you don't understand this health condition, but that doesn't work. You know, and we're not putting our bodies through that, which is improving our overall health, our mental health. You know, we're not having that experience of additional unnecessary pain. And again, we kind of, through the winter, hibernate. We'll go out, you know, when we can. Yep. Go for a walk in the woods and things like that, and we do little bits here and there, and then we make up for it in the summer, and it's that cycle that fits in nicely for all of us. And yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of home ed. On those days where it might be in massive flare-up, it's not that pressure and that knowing that you have to push yourself or that you can't do it. And, you know, there's so much that you can actually do when you're having a massive flare up of pain. You might not be able to get dressed. Yeah. You might not be able to brush your teeth, but you can lie in bed with your little one watching something on the TV. There's so much. I mean, my little one today, we discovered Brainchild this morning. He's watched every single episode today. Yep. In between doing numeracy, literacy, a bit of science, and learning about Vikings. And in between, I've gone, right, do you want a break now? Oh, yeah. And he's gone straight to Brainchild. There's things like that. You know, even putting on a Disney film, there's stuff that you can talk about while you're watching that. You know, you can lie in bed if you're struggling to get up, or it takes you that extra time to get out of bed that day. You know, especially when they're younger, they love coming into bed on a winter's morning.
It doesn't matter how old they are, they still love it.
No. Yeah, even my daughter now, you know, she gets up on the weekend, and on the rare occasion, we haven't done it for ages, so I get up quite early, but the three of us, we're curled up in my bed, and I'm kind of looking going, I'm sure this is my bed, what are you all doing here? It's just like, yeah, we're having a little family lazy morning, and we'll sit there with book each. You know, you can sit there and read. There are so many ways to accommodate your health in home education that you would not be able to do if your child was in school. You just wouldn't.
Yeah. For me, a big consideration was physical health as well. Medical health. So one of my children was born with a very rare inborn error of their metabolism, and basically, without trying to explain the entire thing to you because it's very complex, essentially, when we're ill, when we've picked up a bug or a virus or something like that, our body uses more energy to keep ourselves going. You know, if we've got a temperature, it uses a lot more of our energy, and therefore, you know, what we tend to do when ill is we'll eat into our fat stores. Yeah. He's missing part of that system, which means that he doesn't eat into any fat stores, and that as a consequence, he also doesn't really store very much fat. And so when he was little, he was constantly in hospital because it's very normal and natural for small children to pick up bugs every week.
Yeah.
But the difference between, you know, this child getting chicken pox and my child getting chicken pox is my child's in recess.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very different. And he's not immunocompromised. It's just that his body cannot, you know, release sugar, release energy into his body. So he, everything he eats, he uses as energy. And for us, being not being constantly around lots of children in a very small environment, like a school classroom, meant that he picked up less bugs. It does. Yeah. It doesn't mean that he didn't pick up any bugs. But when he did, he was picking up a cold, or, you know, mainly colds, and your normal kind of kid-like bugs. But what he wasn't, what he wasn't picking up was, you know, norovirus and adenovirus, and you know,
those sorts of things,
gastro bugs, which do put him in hospital. So that was really, really beneficial for us. And it's made a huge difference to, you know, all of the family, him not being ill constantly. And it's made, again, a huge difference to my health, because I was able for, you know, the first time to not constantly panic, wake up early, check his blood sugars, you know, panic when he's at school, in case, you know, he's coming down with something, checking his temperature every morning, because if he's got a if he's got a slightly rise temperature, it's possible he needs to not go to school, because, you know, there's those of you who have children with medical conditions, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? And it made, you know, the hospital visits so much easier without having the attendance letters constantly coming through the post, because he's had so much time off, because he's a medically unwell child. So, you know, when we talk about the stress levels for and the impact of school on a parent's chronic illnesses, I think we often understate how much, you know, being a parent of a child who isn't doing great in school is going to have on a parent who has chronic conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, I can relate to that so much, because my little boy, again, different health issues, but he struggled since he was born. We've had ongoing medical problems. I've lost count of the amount of times he's been blue lighted into hospital. And again, him being in that school environment just exacerbated that. The slightest sniffle, he didn't just get a cold, he was rushed into hospital. He'd be in hospital for days on a drip. His body would shut down. He won't eat. He won't drink. And it's terrifying. You know, and to have the last year where I haven't had that is just phenomenal. You know, when you know that every winter, or the minute there's a little, he's got the slightest sniffle, that it's not just, oh, it's just a cold, he'll get over it. It's, you know what's coming, you know what's going to happen, you know how this is going to go. And to not have that now, because there isn't that constant worry in the back of your mind. There's not that worry that, especially over the last 2 years of what's been going on, you know, where I had to kind of ring the school and go, right, I know that there's been this situation because you've emailed us, he won't be in this week. And then them going, no, you can't keep him home. Yes, I can, because actually there are recorded cases with his GP that this has happened and that's happened and he was rushed in here and there. Oh, well, we don't have a record of that. And it's that constant battle with them. And it's like, hang on a minute, you have no idea what that does to my child. You know, it's not being dramatic. If you've ever been in a situation where your child is practically lifeless on your sofa and you're waiting for an ambulance to come out, and then you're watching them trying to resuscitate him, you know, trying to stabilise his breathing before rushing him into hospital, then you will understand that, what that feels like. And to have that risk reduced, to have that, you know, it's everything. It's absolutely everything. And like you said, you know, yes, there's a chance he can still pick things up, absolutely, but that chance is massively, massively reduced now. When I look back and I see the enormity of what being in that environment did to him and our family unit, you know, it's hard not to kind of sit there and feel really almost, you know, guilty to a degree. Yeah. Absolute guilt, you know, and I've seen posts from members saying, you know, how do you deal with that guilt and how this and how that? And, you know, I think it's a valuable point to address is don't feel guilty. You can't feel guilty for doing the best that you could with what you had at the time. You were doing what you thought was right. When you realize that it's not working, that's not your fault. You know, you haven't created that situation by doing something that we're led to believe is the best for our children. You know, you've given it a go and it doesn't work. You know, give yourself a huge pat on the back for sitting there and going, this isn't working. I'm taking steps to make that better for my child. You know, and I could sit here and go, one thing I don't do is live with regrets. I always go, do you know what? It's happened. I can't change it. I've learned from it. So actually, it's a good thing. No matter how awful that situation, look at what I've learned. Look at how I've grown and look at where I am now. And if, yep. when you kind of put that spin on it, I wouldn't change anything for the world. And I, you know, over the last year, I've sat there and gone, my biggest regret is I didn't take him out sooner. And actually, I think had he, like I said, if he had been there consistently for a couple of months, he would have been officially deregistered a lot sooner. And you know, I just look back now and I'm actually really grateful that the school behaved in the way that they did. Because that lack of confidence that I had in myself and my ability to home educate because of my health and because of what we're led to believe, you know, how can you educate your child? You don't have a degree in teaching. You don't have this. You don't have that. And it's kind of like, you know, you sit there and put it into context. Hang on a minute. I've been educating my child from the day he was born. So who I'm more qualified than anyone because I know him. I know his needs. I understand what he needs. I understand the way that he learns things.
And this is something that I want to talk about next.
Okay. But yeah, you know, there's nobody better in the world to teach your child, but, you know, because nobody knows your child better than you. And
right.
when you kind of flip that narrative in your head, it kind of, it just changes so much. So now I sit there and go, I don't feel guilty. I did the best I could with what I had at that time, and that's all anybody can ever do. And living with regret doesn't change anything. And I've now got to the point, it took me a while, but what the school put us through, which was, it was horrendous. There's no other way to put it. It was horrendous, but I'm actually grateful. I can sit here now and I am grateful. I don't sit there, I don't get angry, I don't get upset about it. Yes, there's still those moments where I'm like, oh, and I just remind myself that actually what the head did for me was massive. She did me such a huge favour because if she had not behaved in the way that she did and did the things that she did, I might still be there trying to do what I thought was the right thing. Because, you know, school is the only way and you can't teach them and you can't this. And you're, you know, when somebody is gaslighting you and making you believe that you're not good enough, it is very, very easy to take that on board. When you add health and chronic health and disabilities as a parent into that mix, that reinforces that narrative in your head that you're not good enough. And you are, you absolutely are. And she helped me see that. She helped me see through her unpleasant behaviour that I can absolutely do this. And she has helped me prove to myself and build my confidence far higher than I ever thought I was possible, you know. And now I can actually sit here and go, I'm thankful to her. I'm yeah. actually thankful to her. And when I kind of concluded the complaints process, I actually put that in my email and I was able to say that genuinely. Because she's done us such a huge favour because it's absolutely changed our lives for the better, without a doubt.
Thank you, Lana, for giving up your evening to ramble yeah. home ed with me.
No, it's been lovely. It's nice to actually have like a conversation about it because, I mean, we don't know anyone around here really and my friends all live like a million hours away. And yeah, I don't really have anybody that I can have home ed rambles with. So it's been really nice. So yeah, thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been lovely, actually.
It's my pleasure. And hopefully you guys listening have received some comfort because that's what I'm hoping from this particular podcast is some some recognition, you know, of your own experiences within, you know, dealing with home ed and disability and CERN and chronic illness and all of the things, and that hopefully it brings you some comfort that you're doing okay, actually.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I think anybody listening to this, I would really love it if once you're done, you just give yourselves a big pat on the back, or, you know, just congratulate yourselves, because it's not easy managing all those things. And, you know, I think we spend too much time berating ourselves and not enough time congratulating ourselves. And actually, we all deserve that, because, you know, it can be a lot. And you're doing amazing. You're doing this because you want to do the best and give the best to your child. And you can't get any better than that. So,
completely.
Yeah. Congratulate yourselves. Absolutely.
Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. And for those of you listening, if you are not in the HEFA community, why not? You can find us over on Facebook. We have around 20,000 of us home educators all driving each other insane and supporting each other. I told everybody they had lovely bums today, so that was nice.
I did like that post. It did make me laugh. I needed that at that moment in time.
Yeah. We do a lot of serious stuff, and sometimes you have a moment as an admin where you go, we all need some comic relief right now, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, like, come and join us in the community, or have a look on the website and look at some of the information that we provide free of charge. By our volunteers, who are all home educators, or, well, there's now two of them that are no longer home educators, but both of them are still heavily involved in the home ed community, so for their sins. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week for more HEFA 101.